Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. Falconry has been described as the sport of kings, the most advanced form of bird watching, and the perfect hobby. This weekend, the Falconers of the Hudson River Valley host not only to their colleagues, but also a broader community that they interact with daily. This weekend, Long Meet serves as a celebration of falconry and the region that boasts some of the best landscapes one could hope for while endeavoring in such a pursuit. The Martin Luther King Jr. Weekend Falconry Meet starts today. It runs through Sunday. Here to tell us more, we welcome Lee Foster, who is a master falconer. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Joe.
And you are holding, this is
Farah. Farah. Farah's a captive bred Jeer falcon that is crossed with a North African falcon called a Barbary falcon. She was actually bred here in the Mid-Hudson region by a gentleman that used to work with Riverkeeper. And she used to work at JFK Airport clearing birds off the runway there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about that. Jeremy Chamberlain is here. He is a general falconer. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great. I have a red tail here, wild caught. She's about three years old.
And this is I'm comparing here between the two. This is a very large falcon. It's large. Is it as large as they get or no?
They do get a little bit bigger. She's about 1,100 grams, and they get to be anywhere from 1,100 to 1,600 grams on the large side.
I can't tell you for the listeners at home. And by the way, you can go to our web stream, which is wamc.org, and you can go to the web stream and you can see the birds.
I'm waving.
Lee's waving right now.
There you go.
So we've got, you can see the two birds, both Farah and, I'm sorry, the other bird's name.
This is Tesla.
Tesla, that's right. Tesla and Farah. Jenna's here too. Jenna Wilgenrich, an apprentice falconer. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you with us. Before we get into the event and what's going on and these beautiful birds that you brought to us, Lee, what makes a person a master falconer, a general falconer, or an apprentice falconer?
It's a acumen in terms of dealing with the birds and the totality of the skill set associated with handling birds of prey. Do you know your birds? Do you know how to handle them? Are you effective in the field? Beyond the basic rudiments of identification and husbandry, we take a master falconer is expected not only to have a healthy grasp of all those elements, but also be able to impart that information and to be able to teach. And, you know, that adage of those who can't do teach, well, that's totally not the case with falconry. In order to be able to truly master something, not unlike a martial art, your ability to convey that information in a manner that's meaningful to somebody who may not have your skill set is really, really critical.
So how long have you been doing this?
That's an awesome question. way too long. If you ask my wife...
Yeah,
she's a saint, by the way.
Yeah, sure.
My wife puts up with
your wife. She's very, very, very nice.
She is a saint, and Saint Amy, and the patron saint of difficult husbands. I've been doing this for almost 30 years as a licensed falconer. I've been in and around the sport since I was 7 years old. And
wow!
And if you're keeping score at home, I'm in my 40s, and so okay. I've been doing it for a long time.
Now, so the event that will be going on beginning today takes place throughout Washington County?
Throughout Washington County.
New York.
You'll find us on sides of roads, conspicuously or inconspicuously, with our hawks in the fields, and in little areas you wouldn't consider hunting. We're akin to bow hunters in that we can get into very intimate spots and create... a fair chase situations that are very true to the sport and are artistic and allow our birds to fully express themselves.
Now we had a photo op earlier with Farah,
mm-hmm.
and Farah was not sporting the accoutrement on the head that listeners can see, but it was full bird. But now it's covered. So what is covering Farah's head?
This is called a hood. And
advanced technology. A hood. Yeah. Yes.
And okay. So like this was this is an innovation in falconry. Falconry is some 4,000 years old and predates written history. And this particular innovation is only 400 years old. The Dutch came up with this style. It's called a cannon style hood. And normally the hoods, I'll take this hood off. And
Hey, look at those eyes.
Yeah.
My God.
Your viewers on their laptops got to look at that. This hood, it's the interesting part about falconry is it's steeped in history, being 4,000 years old. We call our accoutrement, yeah. We call it furniture.
Okay.
Implied in that is that it's built with such quality that it can be handed down and it retains its value.
This looks like an old football helmet.
Well, it does. But when you look at the stitching, and if you have kids, that's the same stitching you'll find in baby shoes.
Or baseball, even.
Right. And baby shoes are not inexpensive.
No.
So somebody in Eastern Europe, some little old lady... went to town making this particular hood. This is a part of falconry. Falconry lies on this continuum. One author had suggested, Stephen Bodio, on the continuum of like from fly fishing to bullfighting. Inside that gray space in between is falconry.
Now, why do you need or why would you employ the hood on Farah, especially under these circumstances?
What it does is, see, we're in a tight studio.
Yep.
And so what happens is...
Bright lights,
strange noises, you know, 6'4" host, and so she doesn't know what's going to go on. So she feels a little threatened, and the flight or flight response is very real for her. However,
me too.
Exactly. It's all right, Joe. I'll hold your hand.
Thank you.
So what the hood does is it simulates darkness, and in the dark, it's kind of like that's when the diurnal birds clock out. They go to sleep and they seek a safe perch for the evening, and they sit very, very still because the people that clock in, or the animals that clock in, are the nocturnal animals, such as owls. And owls are a great enemy of hawks and falcons, and they will kill them if they able to find them in the darkness.
Who usually wins that fight?
Oh, the owl does.
Okay.
Oh, the owl will definitely kill your bird.
Now, as far as Tesla goes, you can't, because of the enormity and because of just the beauty of this, I can't help but think that this bird is going to leap across the console and pull out a vein in my neck. So now I don't anticipate that happening. You have it chained down. But they can do some damage, can't they?
Not
to me, but out in the wild, obviously.
Well, yeah, you're a big guy.
Yep.
Yeah. You could fend for yourself. I think you could make it to the door,
yeah.
Joe.
Yeah. You're right. But they're very powerful.
Yeah, they are.
She's a teddy bear, though.
Yeah.
She's sweet. Everybody calls her in the falconry, in our group anyway, is Beyonce. Because she's just there.
Yeah, just a very showy, beautiful bird. Very nice. But the talk about the beak a little bit, because they are able to go. So when you have a hunt, they're going after what? What do you want them to go after?
This bird, red tails, mice, squirrels, rabbits, that's what they normally take in the wild. We primarily go after squirrels and rabbits.
And off they go. And yeah. How long, and is that a long process? Is that a short process?
Well, the training process is pretty long. It's extensive every day.
You go out and let the varmint loose and off they go, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, from trapping period, because Tesla was trapped, in September or October,
September.
In which you get to the field. Jeremy, what do you think? Like, you're hunting just prior to with a free flight situation with that bird.
Month and a half, maybe.
So, like, by Turkey Day, you're looking at being in the field with your bird. And that's realistic. You know, a 60-day process to get that wild bird.
And by Turkey Day, you mean Thanksgiving, not some other falconry term of another bird entered into
Turkey
the equation.
I know it's your favorite
I like
holiday.
I like it, but it's very nice. Yeah, I just want to make sure I had the vernacular right. Jenna, you are, as I mentioned, an apprentice falconer. You don't have the bird with you today, but how did you get involved in all this?
I got involved with falconry because I didn't realize it was something a regular person could do. And when I found out that you didn't have to be in like a Renaissance fair or a zoologist or a zookeeper, you could take up this sport the same way anyone takes up any other sort of hunting, I started doing the research and found myself a mentor and dove in.
And so how do you see the process right now? You go in, you train the bird, and you go out. And so through this process and through this meet this weekend, you will be working with other falconers.
Right. I have a fully trained bird. I'm working with her on our second season together. She's also a red-tailed hawk like Tesla over here. She's just not in the studio today. She's at home chilling out. And the regular ordeal we do when we hit the field is the birds are unhooded if they're hooded, and they're wearing different gear than you see in the studio today. They're not wearing leashes of any sort. They have on a small strip of leather called a jess. They're released into the wild. And one of the coolest things about falconry is you don't know when you let your bird go if it's going to come back to you. You hope it will. You're betting on it. That's what you train for. But it's like a salmon dollar or just a crazy game of dice that there's a chance that all the work you did is going to be gone. So there's a little bit of high stakes every time. There's other birds that could attack your bird. It could be mating season. They could hear a woo-hoo in the far distant field and take off or find a tree. But most of us are very successful in coming home with our birds.
So when you have a meet like this, Lee, is this a group activity, or you do it separately, or how does that work?
Unlike any other field sport, falconry is one of the it's a prime spectator sport. And so as a group, we get together and we work together to produce game, to flush game, to beat the brush. And that's a falconry term, to beat the brush for the birds to scare up the game. And it's wonderful to do it as a group, which is very interesting culturally for us within our sport, because we are so independent and we're such loners at times. You know, Jenna has her lifestyle that she runs as a farmsteader. You know, and myself, you know, I'm kind of not like a typical falconer because I have like a fully fleshed out life as, you know, I have a family and so forth. I'm stable, you know,
right.
You know, not quirky, you know, this some quirky guy, but certainly, you know, I do a lot of hunting alone. And so when we have a chance to get together and share notes, the amount of knowledge and the amount of education that goes on amongst ourselves increases like exponentially. It's amazing.
So in talking about it as a spectator sport, so people can come out through the weekend and see you and several of the other falconers do their thing.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Come on out.
Yeah, we encourage it.
Now, how many birds will be out there?
Well, usually we fly one at a time.
Okay.
And so it's a walk in the woods. So there's people, I imagine you have 500,000 or so listeners here at this radio station. I imagine the majority of which probably do not engage in field sports, would never engage in something that would even come close to hunting. However, this is not unlike bird watching. This is a walk in the woods. And you get to look at this hawk, follow you, watch you, and with the hopes that you're going to assist it in hunting. That's why these birds stay with us. And sometimes, you know, with falconers, if the bird and you don't click, you know, you're divorced. That bird will divorce you, so to speak, behaviorally, and will ignore you. And so you'll get to see just the opposite of that. You'll get to see the bonding and share in that experience as you walk a field with us.
Now, so you let Tesla loose. Tesla goes after a rabbit or a mouse and comes. Does Tesla just eat it on the spot, or does it come back to you? How does that work?
No, she doesn't bring the game back to you. How do you say it?
When you release a bird to hunt with it,
yep.
It's hunting on its own. And what it does is if it takes a rabbit, that's why they also have bells on them. Can you shake those bells in the
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So our birds are belled so that we can locate them when we can't see them. So
yeah,
in the field.
Okay.
Yeah. So you go to them.
Oh, so you go to them.
You go to them. That's a correct answer.
Yeah, you
a
don't
short
want them carrying
want.
Food.
Yeah.
Okay. But there are so they're hunting for you or they're hunting for themselves?
They're hunting for themselves.
Okay.
They're doing what they do naturally.
And you're just along for the ride.
Yeah.
You're
it's not squirrel postmates.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Gotcha.
Right.
And excuse me. So as far as so then you really do have to be out with them every day because they have to obviously eat.
Exactly. We actually feed them. We ration them food every day, and we have that food prepared. I raise my own food because I'm a master falconer. I am so far invested in this. I obsess over every little detail. And so by the time we get to the field, I've rationed them in such a way that they're interested in hunting for themselves and also know that by me accompanying them, their chances of catching wild game is that much higher.
So I want to just quickly remind or tell people that this is happening in Washington County, New York. It goes from the 12th through the 14th. And so that's today. So this afternoon there will be a pre-dinner hunt. And where is that going to be at?
The pre-dinner hunt will probably be around the Carter's Pond area in the town of Greenwich.
Okay. And that's right off Route 29.
Right off Route 29.
Now, what we're going to do is you don't have a website per se, but you do have your email, and we're going to have the facts on our website. So all people have to do is go to WAMC.org. We'll have the schedule there. And
right.
Also, if they have any questions, they can go to your email address and find out answers. But you're going to be the pre-dinner hunt this afternoon, and then there's going to be an evening of pizza and beer. Do the birds go to that too?
Oh, yeah. There's a wonderful part about that.
You
know, the breweries in Washington County are amazing.
Very bird friendly.
Incredibly bird friendly. Whether, you know, if you're at R.S. Taylor, where we'll be at Saturday night, we'll get to that. But tonight, you can see us at Argyle Brewery in Greenwich, and more of an informal meet and greet. So that'll be a fantastic time.
And you get to see, obviously, meet the falconers and also get to meet the falcons themselves.
Right. And there's a whole etiquette with falconry, which is kind of funny. You're never supposed to invite yourself hunting with a falconer. But you know what? That's the only way you can go.
All right. So, really but you go and you say, "Oh, I'd like to do this," and they can go along.
Exactly. So we can make some arrangements for the weekend.
As you say, it's a spectator sport. You'll be at the Hopkins House, bed and breakfast for breakfast, and then move to the to Salem, New York. And there's a Stewart's location there, and they'll get organized. And they'll go off for the hunt. And then in the afternoon, you'll be at R.S. Taylor, which is in Hebron, New York. And you can find out more by going to their Facebook page, R.S. Taylor Sons Brewery, on Facebook. But again, all of this will be on our website. The whole schedule will be on our website. And then we'll also have Lee's email address if you need any more information. So a lot going on over the next several days. Is this a sport that is ultimately growing, Jenna?
I think it is. I think because of just the internet in general, something that you thought was handed down on your great-grandfather in Austria's knee is something you can Google today and find people in your area that are doing this anywhere in the world. So, yeah, if you're interested, even mildly, come on out to the brewery, meet a bird, talk to some people, and see if this My Side of the Mountain
meet
fantasy...
Meet a bird, Rob. Meet a bird.
Yeah, we're out there. Whatever birds. And just, you know, the way I got into this was meeting other falconers and just talking to them. And what was a fantasy turned into a possibility.
I had one other thing to add to that is that we are not able to do what we do without the help of local businesses and organizations. You know Terry Pachacek with ASA.
Agricultural Stewardship Association.
John Hand with Hand Melon Farm.
Yeah.
Dave up at Slyboro. These folks laid the seed corn.
Excellent.
And Rich and Kelly at R.S. Taylor laid the seed corn for what we're capable of doing today. The benefit, though, it goes to we're asking everybody who comes to attend to bring non-perishable items for the comfort food community. They are the local food pantry for Washington County, and they do an excellent job. We're having a raffle Saturday night, and the portion of the proceeds are going back to Comfort Foods and Devin Bulger and all those great folks over there.
So a lot going on and helping the community. And as you say, so when you say laying corn, so they go out, that's an actual thing
they
had to do?
Well, no. What had happened was...
Seems like a jargon I'm not aware of.
Well, in terms of creating an opportunity for this to happen, this isn't just...
Oh, okay.
It can't happen
right,
on its own.
Physically.
I mean...
Sponsorship.
Sponsorship.
Okay, got it.
And this is one of the few times that you'll find a falconry event that's actually sponsored by local businesses, and we're interested in highlighting folks from like Hoppy Trails or 9 Miles East. Those folks that are we're lucky because we live in a farm to table community.
Yes, we do.
Because it's a farm to table community, it makes it better to hunt.
Yeah,
and you don't have to. You can ask any hunter in Washington County. I probably shouldn't be blowing the cover, but it's probably one of the better areas to hunt, and there's so much game, and that's why. It is Jenna suggests it's growing, and well, yeah, it is, because in our county, we have more falconers than any other county in New York State, probably any other county in the Northeast.
And the reason is that is because of the area and because of the openness, the open space, and as you say, the supporting community.
Right? You have to have the economic and the ecological viability to go forward with this type of thing.
I can't even imagine. It just sounds beautiful. I've seen this, so I will say it is beautiful. But just watching these birds fly, watching these birds go, watching these birds. I'm lucky enough to live on the top of a mountain, so you just see this in the wild of watching them do their thing is amazing. But there is just a beauty to it, isn't there?
Right, and you know, I love looking at Tesla, Jeremy's bird. That he works with, and Tesla is just gorgeous, and she's an amazing red tail, a great example, just a specimen, and I love looking at the bird. I could and just
now. What would how much do you think Tesla weighs?
About 1,100 grams, about 2.5 pounds.
Okay, 2.5 pounds. Yeah, and but because it's a not husky, but it's a big bird, right?
Well,
I mean, it's
and she's a teddy bear in here, but Tesla is ruthless in the field. I mean, mince words.
Back
here.
To my earlier comment, Lee.
It's all right.
Console.
You'll make it to the door. Door's right here.
There's
a first aid kit up front.
That's what they are.
And Tesla is a gorgeous bird, but she doesn't. There's not a red squirrel or a gray squirrel that she can't catch.
Yeah.
And she's impressive, just truly impressive bird. And it's a testament also to Jeremy's husbandry.
Now, let me just ask this question, and it's a dumb question, but I'm going to ask it anyway, and I should have asked it maybe the first question that I should have asked. Mm. But falcon. So falcon, hawk.
Different species.
Birds of prey. Okay.
The sports name is falconry.
Yes.
Because of tradition, but people who hunt with hawks, or sometimes called Austringers, it's a different thing, but falconry is the name of the sport. We have right now a falcon and a hawk. This is different birds of prey, different species, different game.
Okay, so when we say, so this is a red tail hawk.
It's a red tail hawk. You'll see one if you look up on the way home from work, you will see one today.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And that's the bird that you have too.
Yep, I have a smaller female at home.
And you said this is a bird that comes from here, but also.
Right, so this is a gyr falcon, which is from the Arctic. Now, we get a few stragglers along the coastline. With the wacky weather we have, and we get a few more of these. So you think snowy owls and tundra? You should be thinking gyr falcons too, because they eat a lot of ptarmigan and so forth. They live on the tundra. They live in places like Greenland, Iceland. They live in northern reaches of Canada, Hudson's Bay. So the white and so forth that goes along with being an Arctic species and blending in is very very typical of a gyr falcon.
And one you would find naturally here?
Very rarely. Highly rare bird, a visitor that you would find in the winter. If you saw a gyr falcon, it's a special, special event. And see, there are birders in your audience that know this. That would make their year to see a gyr falcon here in New York State.
It's interesting to watch you talk and then have Farrah nod.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's happened a couple of times.
My wife does not do this.
Very agreeable to you.
My wife would just shake her head.
Just very much nods.
Yeah.
So then how many birds do you have?
There again, my wife would say way too many. Amy, I love you, dear. I've got three birds.
Doesn't it seem reasonable for a master falconer? It seems like a reasonable number of birds to have.
There you go.
I'm gonna buy you a beer tonight. I'm gonna buy you a beer tonight. How about that?
He would take five more though. So
yeah, that's true. But that process is really interesting too. Of working on that relationship between the falconer and the bird. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, there's some quiet nights. There's, you know, with low light, you know, some, I don't know, Sarah McLachlan music in the background, some wine, and just your bird.
You paint a picture. It's the Martin Luther King Jr. Weekend Falconry Meet. It takes place throughout Washington County, New York. And you can find out more by going to our website, wamc.org. We will have the website. We will have the list there of the activities. Not only that, but we'll also have Lee's email, which you can find out more information because the actual time and places change. That way you can get the latest information from
If you like to drink in Washington County, it will be easy to find.
And at Argyle Brewery tonight. So there you go. Lee Foster, Jeremy Chamberlain, and Jenna Wilgenrich, I thank you all for being here. Also, of course, to Tesla and Farah. Beautiful, beautiful birds, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much. Have a beautiful weekend.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.